Hello, everyone. My name is Ben Mosier, and you're listening to the Agile Uprising podcast.
I am this episode's host, Jay Hersko, and with me I have fellow board member, good friend of mine, Troy Lightfoot. Troy, how are you?
I am doing well. How are you?
Great, great, fantastic. All right, everybody. So this episode is another in our new series of Should I Take This Course, where we're, as we're sitting through Agile courses, a bunch of us are taking classes here and there, certification and whatnot. So we're going to do a little bit of a mini series on the courses that we've taken recently, and then some feedback is as to should you take this? Would this course be beneficial to you? Would it be something you'd be interested in? And the topic of tonight's episode is Troy and I are going to cover off the Scaled Agile Frameworks DevOps course, which I believe is the Safe DevOps Practitioner, the SDP. Did I get that right, Troy?
I believe so. Yes.
All right. So, first question I wanted to ask is, and Troy, you are actually certified to teach this. Is that correct? Like you have your bona fides? Okay, perfect.
Yes.
Okay. So the first question I was going to ask is how familiar were you with this subject, prior to taking it? So prior to you getting certified to take this course, I'm assuming you had to sit through it. So how familiar were you with the concept of DevOps before you actually sat through the course itself?
Pretty familiar. I have a fairly in-depth understanding of quite a few aspects of DevOps. I wouldn't call myself, you know, a DevOps guru by any means, like the, you know, the Jez Humbles and the Gene Kims and the Nicole Ferguson.
Forsgren. Yeah. Yeah.
But yes. Yeah. I'd like not, I wouldn't put myself up like those folks, but I do know enough to teach it and be dangerous and utilize it in a coaching and consulting capacity. Sure.
So let me step on that answer, Troy. Did you take this because you thought it would be a beneficial course to offer some of your customers? Did you think it would be helpful to add this lens to some of the people you've been coaching? Like what led you down this path, this course particularly?
I would say it's twofold. One, it's personal development, where, you know, the Agile Coaching Institute, the we call it the X-Wing model, right? Mm-hmm. And there's this idea of technical mastery and that's one of the wedges there, right? So this was, what I do is I tend to look at that Agile Coaching Institute model and determine what's the next step for me, like which wedge am I going to start growing deeper in or developing some new skills or the ability to teach and those types of things. So this was one of the things I identified as a kind of a personal area of improvement that I could, that it might be the next step for me when it comes to the DevOps side of things. So, and since I've been involved in a lot of safe work as of late, I figured it might be the right time.
Nice. So as for myself, I was same boat as you. I wouldn't call myself a DevOps expert in any way. However, I did run a bunch of development teams. I am familiar with a lot of things that you would call core DevOps concepts. For those listeners that know, I'm a big reader. It comes up in almost every episode. I've read the DevOps Handbook. I've read a whole bunch of books, Accelerate, around this. So I at least had a working familiarity with a lot of the terms that were going to come up. And as for why I took it, well, I think it was you, and it might have been Paul Elia, said that, you know, the Safe DevOps course is bad. It actually is pretty interesting, and it's not all technical. It's very layman's terms. So to me, I was legitimately curious because I wanted to see how the course was made, and I wanted to, I actually, believe it or not, we'll get to it in a minute, I talked to a bunch of coworkers into taking it with me because I thought it would be beneficial for them. So let's start with Troy. So what did you, as an overarching statement, what did you think of the course itself? Like, were you in materials? Did you like how it's set up? We probably should go for the listeners into a little bit of detail about how the course is all built around value stream mapping as a linchpin. You want to give a little bit of background about how the course is actually structured?
Sure. So the course is based around a value stream map of a deployment pipeline. And what they do is they walk you through actually exercises of doing the value stream mapping. And you can do it on your real work, or you can do it on some kind of, if you're taking in a class, somebody else's maybe, or make it up, I guess, worst case scenario. And when I say value stream map, I'm not just talking about the each steps. I'm talking about the lead time from step to step, as well as the, you know, we call it percent complete and accurate. So the amount of times that there's that it has to go back to the previous step, for example, or to a previous step, as well as the touch time, the amount of time it actually spends being worked on in that state versus waiting in a queue. And that's part of that lead time. So there's some analysis there. And then what they do is they walk you through the DevOps model in SAFe, which is based on this acronym called CALMR. So that stands for a culture of shared responsibility, automation of a continuous deployment delivery pipeline, lean flow. So those are your lean metrics, right? Measurement of everything, and recovery enables low risk releases. So it's all about measurements, metrics, the ability to recover, the ability to automate, and getting the culture of DevOps, shared responsibility, instead of saying we have one DevOps team versus development teams and vice versa, that there's a culture of shared responsibility for development, ops, security, et cetera. So that's the premise. Is what they do is they have you map out this pipeline, this example, or with your real work. They apply the principles of CALMR throughout this 2-day course, and they teach you practices and techniques to be able to achieve improvements in your pipeline and your quality. And that could be anything from even something like pair programming, continuous integration, to lean metrics. That there's a bit, I believe, if I can remember correctly, about flow in the training. So it kind of walks through that CALMR model, and separating deployment from release is a key actual competency of SAFe. So there's quite a few things about that, about blue green deployments, about feature toggles, things of that nature. So that's the premise of what's in the training.
Yeah, I liked how, so if any of our listeners are familiar with the Agility Health Radar, I like how down in the course they lay out that giant circular radar where it talks about the four, what SAFe has identified as the four main quadrants of DevOps principles and practices, right? It's continuous exploration, it's continuous integration, it's continuous deployment, and then to your point about separating deployment from release, it's release on demand. So when they broke out all these practices, capabilities, abilities of a team, of a mature DevOps organization, and they put them in those chunks, for me, I'll be honest, that was one of the more beneficial things that I got out of course. It's the ability to take all these disparate practices and ideas and ways of working and compartmentalize them in a way and neighborhood them, for lack of a better term, that makes sense. I thought for me, that was one of the more beneficial things I thought of the course, because, you know, as a development manager in my previous life, I'm familiar with the term immutable architecture. I'm familiar with the term feature toggles and canary that sort of stuff. But the way they broke it out, I really liked. I thought that was a great way of mentally organizing it. And I also liked how for every quadrant, Troy, they talk about there's two objectives in each piece. So there's a business objective and then there's an IT objective. So for example, continuous exploration, which is hypothesize and collaborate research, synthesize, architect a solution. The business objective is alignment, where the IT objective is continuous exploration. And then they break that down, that idea of continuous exploration, into subdimensions. I really like that approach because, and we're going to get to this in a minute when we start talking about who should take this course, I think it helps you conceptualize all these different things. It starts with the why. It backs you. It starts with the why, and then it gives you, okay, you want to do these things to meet that why, which I thought, I will give Scaled Agile credit. I really liked that logical layout of how they put those things together.
Okay.
So, and obviously, like you said, it was a 2-day course. I will give you my personal example. My room was, I think it was about 18 people. We broke into two big groups, and we didn't use the scenario in the class. We used a real life process, in two separate groups. Each one had their own, and we did a full value stream map, like you said, with lead time, flow efficiency, percent complete and accurate, who's the single person that's responsible for each step. And then just to give our listeners an idea of a way the class works, you start with doing your value stream map in your current state. And then as we introduce, or as the instructor introduces these concepts like feature toggles, like blue-green testing, like automated testing and rollbacks and whatnot, you then go to your value stream app and point out where some of these capabilities or where some of these practices would come into play to help you get to a better desired state, right? Because at the end of the day, it's all about flow efficiency, right? How much are you getting through the system? How much touch time versus wait time? And I thought that was really fascinating and very helpful to apply these, you know, immutable architecture, right? To apply that type of concept into a real life example, I thought was really, really powerful because it really makes you stop and think. And I'm gonna keep banging on that drum. Immutable architecture is one of those things where prod doesn't match your lowers, you know, and you need to control all your change going through the same process as you do in the lowers so that you can guarantee that nobody's out there willy-nilly in the prod environment making changes that don't replicate downwards and then everything ends up out of sync, which anybody who's been doing IT more than 15 minutes has had that happen to them. Right? I think that's a safe assumption. So Troy, let's talk about what did you think of the exam itself? Because obviously there's an exam at the end of the course. Did you think it was difficult? Do you think it was not difficult? Do you think that the things that are on the exam are covered off in the class itself?
So I would say the test is probably a mid-level test. What I would consider an easy test would be something like the Certified Scrum Master. And a more difficult test would be maybe the SPC. So this is, to me, it's kind of in the middle between those two as far as difficulty.
I would concur. This is the third exam, safe exam I've taken. I would say it's fair. It's right smack dab in the middle. Like you said, I wouldn't say it was too easy. It was too difficult. But then again, I had a background as a development manager. So a lot of these things I already knew. So when I got to the test, I didn't have to open the book and look. I was, oh, I know what feature toggles work. And I know what a release is versus deployment. The only places that I had to really dig through the source materials when they talked about the business objective for each quadrant. That was the one I had to go back into the book and look because I just didn't remember those off the top of my head.
Gotcha. Okay.
So Troy, I mean, you've sat through the course, right? And now you teach the course. So if you had to say, what type of person or whom would you suggest should take this Safe DevOps course? I mean, not just personality, but roles. Is there a particular type of Agile practitioner? Is there a particular role, Scrum, Safe, what have you, that this would be beneficial to? What are your thoughts? Who should actually shell out the cash to sit through this 2-day course?
To me, this is a perfect thing for Scrum Masters, RTE, Agile coaches, and let's say technical coaches or dev managers, for example. To me, it's that they would very, very much benefit from this because you can really drive change through these practices, particularly in the value stream mapping of the deployment pipeline and using that technique with your real work and having the conversations and kind of being a change agent and then saying, well, how do we improve this? Well, I have learned about these set of techniques and maybe we could get better at our CI, or we could start pairing more, we can start using TDD, or we can start using feature toggles and blah, blah, blah. And even if you don't know how to do all of it yourself, you know enough about it to be able to work with people and find the right people and kind of go down that deeper depth if you haven't done it before, because not everyone has done everything, right? But it's more about understanding how to facilitate the right conversations with the right people to drive the change. So the change agents in the organization, the Scrum Masters, the coaches, the managers, and scaled Scrum Masters like RTE, for example, would be. So that's something, that's the audience that I personally would see would benefit from this course.
Nice. So I took this course, and again, like I said earlier, it was about 18 people. The makeup of the course, so this is where it gets interesting. So I was the only dyed-in-the-wool Agile practitioner in the room. There was one test engineer. there was a guy from architecture. There was another guy from like database admin, data design. And then it was all product owners, product managers, ex-project managers that were now RTEs or scrum masters. We had solution owners, we had stakeholders. So I had a room of people that were not technical in many respects. And it was a, so it was very fascinating for them, especially watching the questions that come out. Because again, you know, you were familiar, I was passingly familiar. So a lot of it wasn't reinventing the wheel, but it was very interesting for me to look around the room and see the questions coming out of the people who may not necessarily be familiar with some of these ideas or some of these practices. And I would suggest, if you are not, if you have never been on a software development team, because let's be honest here, Troy, there are a lot of people who get into the Agile game, the Scrum Master game, and they may never have been on a team. Right? So they may not have ever been close enough to software engineering, software delivery, to understand a lot of this stuff or even have been exposed to it. So I truly believe if you've been a project manager, but I hate when project managers say, I'm not technical. If you're in IT and you say you're not technical, I'm sorry, but maybe you should be looking for a different gig. I mean, let's be honest here. But I'm sorry, I'm digressing. Get off my soapbox here. If you've never been on a development team, if you've never been around the code, if you've never written code, if you've never been a manual tester, this is, I think, the perfect course for you because it's told in a very plain English manner. I would agree with your idea, your statement about team leads, development managers. This actually would probably be a great course if you can get a whole team to go together. Maybe the product owner, scrum master, test development manager, and one or two team members. I think that would be amazing to go all go together and come across these concepts and say, okay, well, where can we put in automated testing? Where can we put in gated check-ins, right? So like, I think that would be, it would be beneficial for people who don't have the technical background or acumen or exposure. But I also think it would be great for a team to go through using in their value stream app, a real life example, and then start picking apart what they're going through day over day. Because I think that would really, I think it would be worth the money in that regard.
I totally agree. I had no disagreement here.
Awesome. Man. One of the rare conversations. We all agree. So if you had to put a Roman vote on it, Troy, I'm assuming that you would agree with me that the course is definitely a worthwhile course, especially if you can have it brought into your organization. I think we would both concur and say that it's a worthwhile endeavor. It's worth sitting through, even if you're not chasing a certification, the knowledge portion of it alone. I think we would both agree it's worthwhile.
It is definitely worthwhile. I would caution, it is not, I wouldn't call it a deep dive into DevOps practices. It more covers them. If you're going to learn about how to do blue-green deployments, this is not the course for that. This is more about bringing the DevOps model in safe to your organization or to your team and trying to bring about positive change using the model and using the facilitation techniques that they teach you there with the mapping and the practices that they kind of introduce you to that you can go try out and kind of craft a future vision of what your deployment pipeline might look like, you know, a year from now and how you might get there. So that's kind of the point of the class.
I would agree. And to use your example, this class is not going to tell you or show you how to be an expert in blue-green deployment, but it's going to introduce the concept of blue-green deployment to you, which then you can say, okay, I need to go, to your point, I need to go down this path because I think this will be beneficial to us. So Troy, I agree 100%. It's not going to make you an expert in feature toggles, but if you conceptually are aware of what a feature toggle is, and then you start thinking about how it could be useful to you, it'll open up a Pandora's box.
Sure. Yeah, for sure.
So I think, Troy, we're about at time. Any other final thoughts on Safe DevOps?
No, I think it's an overall, it's a good course. It was a great addition, I think, to the Safe framework. And if this interests you, I mean, I do recommend it.
All right. And I would echo that sentiment. I think it is definitely worthwhile. Again, especially if you're new to the Agile rigmarole, if you've never been on a development team, this is good conceptual bedrock type stuff to learn. And then once you have the understanding of what you can do with these concepts and capabilities, you can then take them back and annoy your inevitable DevOps team in your enterprise and say, hey, why don't we have canary string and how do we get one? Which is actually arming you for battle and then sending you back into the ecosystem ready to pick some arguments, which is rather amusing.
Right.
So Troy, any final thoughts before we wrap it up?
No, that's it. Thank you, Jay.
Awesome. Well, on behalf of Troy and myself, I want to thank everybody for listening. I hope you enjoyed this. We know this was a quick one, but we didn't want to beat the class to death. I mean, we could have talked to every single slide. If you're really interested, contact us through Discord and let us know. Once again, we have Discord, we have Discourse, we have a Patreon, we have stickers, we have everything. So if you want to get involved, hop on Discord, hop on Discourse, get in the game, join the conversation. Thank you, Troy, for your time. Thank you, all your listeners, for your time and listening to us again. And this is the Agile Uprising Podcast signing out.